and welcome to Food Neighbourhoods on Monocle Radio. My name's Monica Lillis, and once again, we visit the places locals love for their food and drink. In southwestern Ontario, the maple trees were tapped much earlier than usual this year, some as early as January, when the 60th edition of the annual Elmira Maple Syrup Festival kicked off the first weekend in April, festival goers were treated with maple syrup boiled just days prior to pour over their pancakes. Mandy Sinclair stopped by for tree-to-table maple syrup and to chat with local producers along with tens of thousands of other visitors. Take a listen.
I'm here in Elmira for the annual Elmira Maple Syrup Festival, held the first weekend in April. Here in the small southwestern Ontario town, about 1.5 hours west of Toronto, the population on a typical day is about 10,790 people. But on festival weekend, the population swells, attracting more than 60,000 visitors in search of fresh maple syrup from the nearby sugar bushes and to join in the festivities planned throughout the town. Though, like the mild winter the region experienced, the sun is shining, the streets are already full of people at 10 a.m., and volunteers are worried about running out of supplies at the pancake breakfast, our first stop. I think it's going to be a busy day. Teams of volunteers are preparing fluffy pancakes, cooking sausages prepared using pork from the nearby pork producers, piping hot coffee. And the official maple syrup supplier, Snyder Acres, has provided 450 liters of fresh maple syrup to drizzle over, or my preferred, drench the pancakes. This year marks the 60th edition of the festival that draws visitors from far and wide. When the Grassroots Festival started in 1965, organizers were anticipating 2,500 visitors. 10,000 people showed up instead. And the festival continued to grow over the years, eventually making the Guinness Book of World Records as the world's largest single-day maple syrup festival when 66,529 people arrived in the year 2000. Well, thanks so much for chatting with me, Matt. Is this your first year as the chair of the committee?
No, this is my second year as chair. I was chair last year for the 59th, and that was our first year back in person. And then this year is the 60th. So
60th year.
Two big years back to back.
Yeah. Absolutely. Wow. And so I arrived here about 9 o'clock. The streets were starting to fill up. Pancake breakfast, very slick operation. How many people are you expecting to come through today?
Judging by the early crowds, it's looking like it's going to be a very good year. Our average year we would estimate to be approximately 65,000 people.
So with that many people in town, how many volunteers do you have here working at the festival?
So I don't know the exact number today that's out here, but in total to run the festival, and it's actually 3,000 volunteers that go into putting the festival on. That's people that work behind the scenes for several months beforehand. There's like a ton of people in the community that participate.
And so why a maple syrup festival?
This area particularly is rich in maple syrup production history, and it's just part of the community. So for the past 60 years, that's why it's thrived, because it is a deep part, rooted part of the community. And we're happy to be able to honor that and celebrate it with the festival. And people enjoy the festival because it's one of the first outdoor festivals of spring and a chance for people to get outside.
And so the pancake flipping contest starts in just a few minutes. Can you tell us just a little bit what's that all about?
It's kind of a silly competition that we put on. We invite various teams, radio stations, like other media outlets, as well as politicians, and the committee actually puts a team in ourselves. You have 5 team members and varying ways to flip pancakes. One of those is a spatula, but one is also a scuba diver flipper, and there's all kinds of different things.
Right. So it's just a good fun,
yeah,
fun
it's,
day out.
It's just a fun thing to throw into the mix.
I caught up with 2024 Festival Producer of the Year, Graham Snyder, of Snyder Acres, a couple days prior to the festival, as he was bottling fresh maple syrup for this morning's pancakes. He shared details of how he came to be the Producer of the Year, his sugarbush operation, and how the mild winter impacted production this year.
They have a contest every year that you enter your syrup into, and they have world-class judges that come in and judge all the syrup, and they pick out which is the best syrup. And it's graded on four different qualities, so it's not just taste, it's the looks of it, the sugar content, and the density of it. Everything's got to be right. Mm-hmm. And then they usually get narrowed down to about three people, and then it's pretty much boils down to whose tastes the best. For the festival, they purchase the syrup from us for the pancakes. Mm-hmm. and for the taffy that they do there. And any gifts they give out, they buy. Like, we are the official supplier for the Surf Festival. Okay. And we get a prime spot. So when you get off the wagons, when you're brought in by a wagon from the parking lots, we're mm-hmm. the very first booth you see. And we'd be the last booth they'd see before they leave. So if they want to buy a heavier container of syrup, they know they wouldn't have to carry this far.
On your property there, how many trees do you have tapped?
Altogether, we tap 13,000, but that's several different bushes. They're all within a 5-mile radius of the sap shanty, so we don't have very far to go. But so it takes a lot of bush to produce the 13,000 taps. This year, we keep track of how much sap and how many liters of syrup, and we're at about a liter and a half per tap. So that would be a little over 20,000 liters of syrup.
Okay. And so you have several taps per tree or just one?
Yeah, as soon as the tree gets about 18 inches, then we get to put a second tap into it. And if it gets really big, you know, like 30, 36 inches, okay, we'll put a third tap on. Very seldom do you get anything bigger than that. We do have one tree back there that... it's got to be 10 feet circumference, like a round.
Wow.
The outside of it, it's probably 5 feet across, and we have five taps on that one, but that's one of a kind. Very few get that big.
This year was a rather mild winter in southwestern Ontario, and I'm just wondering, how did that impact the maple production season for you?
This year it didn't really impact it yield-wise. The only thing it did was it came on early. And what we look for is, warm days above freezing and slightly freezing at night. Well, that was starting to happen already late January. So the last day of January we tapped, and throughout February we had perfect weather for sap season. But in general, a lot of people are worried about the global warming and everything, and so far that hasn't affected us. As long as a tree can freeze through the winter a little bit, it opens the door for the sap to run in the spring.
With Canada providing 80% of the world's supply of maple syrup, we decide to head to the sugar bush to find out more about the production. Cooler nights and daytime temperatures just above freezing mean the sap is running through the tubing system throughout the vast bush. It's eventually collected in a large vat before the evaporation process begins in the sugar shack.
We pick the sap up during the day, late in the day usually, and then we bring it in and first thing in the morning, and sometimes first thing is 3 o'clock in the morning, we'll start the reverse osmosis machine up, and we put the sap through the reverse osmosis machine, and it takes 90% of the water out of the sap. Then what we do is the concentrate goes up into a tank, and then we boil that. And the whole process, the sap runs through the day, and within 24 hours, we've got it all boiled, and it turned into syrup. And after it's boiled, like there's a lot of sand and nitre that builds through the process, and we put through a filter press. So the syrup is filtered very similar to what you would do with wine or beer. It gets filtered through the system and comes out perfectly clean.
Back at the festival, I stopped to sample Graham Snyder's award-winning maple syrup. Served shot glass style, after one sip of the amber grade syrup, I understood immediately why the judges selected his product. Further along, at another tent, my interest is piqued when I spot a bottle of syrup labeled Sweet Joe.
Phil Thomas of Thomas Sugarbush. We've been at the Elmira Maple Syrup Festival almost every year it's been open. Now it's in its 60th year. One of the unique products we have is called Sweet Joe. It's actually coffee-infused maple syrup. Came up with this idea because I like both maple syrup and coffee. We basically use whole coffee beans, add hot maple syrup to them, let the coffee infuse for about 6 months, and then it's ready for sale.
Where's your Sugar Bush located?
Our Sugar Bush is located in southern Ontario, near Priceville, which is about an hour north of here.
Okay, and it's been around since 1938.
But it's not just maple syrup over pancakes we're in search of. We stopped by the maple taffy demonstration where steaming hot maple syrup is drizzled over snow and rolled up with a popsicle stick to create a lollipop of sorts. I stopped to chat with Steve Bisbee, a volunteer with the Optimist Club of Elmira, as he prepared maple taffy for a captive audience.
All we do is we take syrup, we put it in a cauldron, we boil more water off. It's just syrup. You could do this at home if you had snow.
Yeah.
And so we boil more water off until it's a thicker concentrate. And if we had like a candy thermometer, it would probably say something like soft candy state or something like that. We don't do that. We have a stick and we hold it in the air, and we know after years of experience how things should look.
So really, after you boil the maple syrup, you're drizzling it on the snow.
Just drizzling on the snow. It cools down a bunch more, gets thicker, and it just comes off. And Mandy,
thank you.
This is the best candy you've ever had.
What would you like?
It's all natural.
Mm, that was good.
It is good. And you've eaten it.
Well, and the snow is clean.
There you go.
Thanks, Mandy. For more food and drink stories, tune into The Menu every Friday at 2000 London time. I'm Monica Lillis. Thanks for listening.